everyone. Welcome back to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. I'm Christopher Strong, joined by...
Tyler.
There's a lot of Tylers in the world. Could you please specify which Tyler we're talking about here?
W. Moore.
Tyler, I have a question for you.
Okay, Chris, shoot.
Who is my favorite director of all time?
Roman Polanski.
That would be so far incorrect. There's a part from Major League. It's called Major League, yeah, Charlie Sheen. Where when the pitcher throws the ball and it's like 5 feet away from the batter, and the announcer goes, "It's just a bit outside." That's where you were. on that statement there. No, it is Steven Spielberg.
Yes. Okay, anyway, Chris, so what movies are we talking about today?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., The Extraterrestrial, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, and Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Now, there's an omission here that I think we should go ahead and cover real fast.
Okay.
We are not talking about Jaws.
Right, right.
And why are we not talking about Jaws today, sir?
Honestly, I, like, in my opinion, this might be different from yours, I feel like it's not...
Probably is.
Maybe, I don't know. I feel like Close Encounters really is, like, Steven's first movie of his own. So I feel like that was sort of what drove me to think that the Close Encounters should be the first one.
That and also is written by Spielberg, I guess, if you want to...
Right, right.
Yeah.
That movie has the most of his stamp on it, but we'll get to that later.
It was directed, well, okay, let's get to that, I guess, in a bit. Okay, it's going to start off with Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
What were you going to say about Jaws, or was it the same reason?
That was actually the reason, actually. Okay, you got it right. Totally got it. I was like, oh, that's great.
Okay.
Never mind. I think about to say, like, he was just like, oh, it's not very good or whatever, I was going to slap
it's
you.
It's stupid, and it sucks, and it's gay and dumb.
All right, so... Close Encounters of the Third Kind is my favorite movie. I'll start that off, go ahead and say that right now.
Right.
That movie, I can watch it 500 times, and it's just like I watched it for the first time, whatever. It's very magical. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest reasons for that right there is because there's like the inclusion of music into the film itself, which of course comes from Mr. John Williams.
Right.
Who is the absolute best composer of all time. All you Hans Zimmer, Danny Elfman lovers out there, like Tyler Moore right there.
Yeah. I love Hans
John Williams
Zimmer.
Is the greatest composer.
Sorry, what was that, Chris? I couldn't hear you.
I'm imagining a Close Encounters Third Kind with that blah sound in there. Like when the ships like fly right.
But Chris, I couldn't hear what you were saying about John Williams. Could you repeat that?
No. All right, so... I hate you. This movie is, you're just trying to derail this right now. All right, so Richard Dreyfuss. Let's go talk about Richard Dreyfuss for a second.
Oh, yes.
Plays the main character in this movie.
And is basically Spielberg projecting himself on screen.
Exactly. Did you know, by the way, that Richard Dreyfuss was not actually Spielberg's first choice for this part?
Neary. I cannot remember who it was, but I do remember something about that. Who was it?
There's actually a nice little list of people. Steve McQueen was the first choice, which would be a fun. That would be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But apparently, he felt that he was not right for the role, so that's cool.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
That shows, by the way, that you're willing to turn down roles because you understand that this is. It's more important to have a proper person
right.
in the proper role, you know. Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino, and Gene Hackman all turned down the part.
Yeah.
Now here's the scary one right here. Jack Nicholson was considered as well.
Oh my god, that would have been great.
You know how creepy that would have turned into?
No, because I'm just imagining like the scenes where he's like kind of going
the shining of the third kind
going, I mean, going crazy but like yeah that would have because like you kind of would have been like oh it would have been a very different performance actually because you kind of would have like not really liked him like
yeah
like, twice as much
Well, I think that's from New York. I loved Dreyfuss's character.
Yeah.
Because like it represented that inner child of like, you know, even though he's a grown man, he's still that inner child in him. It's like he's accessing after the aliens all kind of mess with him a little bit. Yeah.
And he's kind of like, yeah, but like there's this like this kind of sense because you don't really get what's going on at first, or like I guess like the first time around, I didn't really get what was going on, like. What's going on with this guy? Like, why is he going all crazy? And like, obviously, it was something to do with the aliens, but like, his family doesn't know this. Like that. I mean, that's what's like sort of going on in the story.
Well, Tyler, he kept telling you what was going on. He said, "This is important. This means something." Mm-hmm. And apparently, that means making a giant mud potato mountain.
So it's like you kind of I don't know. You kind of get this weird vibe from him, you're kind of sympathizing with his family a bit because they're getting a weird vibe from him. So, but like as time goes on, like everything kind of comes together a bit more, and you end up liking him. But like I think Jack Nicholson in that role would have definitely amplified both of those sides.
Yeah. Now here's a question for you. Here's a quandary. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the wife did their proper thing in this instance by taking the kids away?
Yes.
Okay, and sorry to add on to make an addendum to the question. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was okay for him to have left at the end of the movie with the aliens?
Now that, maybe not so cool, but like. I mean, who wouldn't?
What's funny is like Spielberg wrote that before he really had like I guess his family going, I suppose.
Right.
If I remember correctly from his like biography or whatever. Yeah. I'm saying whatever. I love that biography. What can I say right now? Yeah. Like, oh, whatever, you know.
Great biography. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But he said, actually, later on, Spielberg said that he would actually have not have written Dreyfuss leaving with the aliens at the very end.
A lot of that, because like that's a sort of thing that was really common in his early movies, with like sort of a broken up family or like a distant father.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like it was something that kind of had a lot to do with his family life. So I'm guessing that was more like a subconscious sort of thing going on in his writing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really is. It's like, you know, when your parents both like get divorced on you when you're really young, it's like kind of affects you a lot. So it's but I also want to talk about, by the way, I'm gonna jump over to the other best actor in this movie, the whose name I'm not gonna even try to pronounce, the French man.
Oh, yeah!
Who was in charge of all the UFO stuff.
He's great.
In the movie. He was really, really good. I was just like, watch this guy, and just like, this guy is terrific.
Yeah.
And like, apparently that was Spielberg's like first choice for the part, and like, he was like, okay, let's do it. It's like, what? Seriously?
Oh, man.
And unfortunately, I didn't write down, by the way, why it was that Spielberg wanted him as the part. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
What I convinced him that it was like the right guy for the part. But I just remember it was something. I think this is like the guy also directed things as well, I think.
Yeah.
Might be misremembering that, I suppose. But I really liked him. He was really likable, and I felt like he was actually kind of on Roy's side in the movie.
Right.
Kind of like, ah, this guy understands that this is what's going on right here, and he.
Yeah.
And it's like he understands, though, he has to work within the confines of basically the United States government. And
yes.
You kind of feel for the guy, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like the very end, like where he is signaling to the aliens with the hand signals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but this is probably, I actually, like, I've only seen this movie twice. I saw it.
Just a shame.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I saw it once in a music class. It's not like an orchestra class or whatever, it was just like singing, But like this is back like in sixth grade. So like I have no idea why the fuck they would show Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but obviously my teacher just liked Spielberg movies, so she showed us this and Last Crusade.
Oh, it's really? Like,
why the fuck? Like, I don't get what value that has in a choir class, but sure. But I saw it then and I really liked it back then, and you know, like after we had started talking, and you know, you're like constantly talking about how much you love Spielberg and how you want to hold him at night. So I rewatched it when it was on Netflix, and like I love this movie. I think it's great, and I'm going to be watching it many, many more times.
Oh, yes you will, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. You will. I'm going to send you a copy of Close Encounters every Christmas, along with a copy of Deep Impact every Christmas, just to cement that. Which, by the way, that's a total like inside joke, by the way. Just
yeah, we should do that out should there. We explain that.
Okay, real fast, there's an online series called Homestar Runner.
Yeah,
and one of the characters in the series would always give another character the movie Deep Impact every Christmas, just because the guy said he liked the movie. It's like kept getting given the movie, or sometimes like I like the movie, so here's the movie again.
Yeah,
and so that's our that's what we do to each other. We send each other Deep Impact, which Tyler actually one-upped me on this one. I sent him the DVD. He sent me the VHS.
I'm going to, by the way, next year I'm going to one-up you again.
Which, by the way, came in a protective cover, in case you're wondering.
Yes.
I don't know if you do want that or not. That was protective covering and everything. I was like, oh my god. I thought I'd get like a special edition. I was looking around for like the autographs on there or something like that. I was like, good lord, what do you do this thing? Anyways, back to
good movies.
Mr. Whoa, okay. I was going to say back to Spielberg. Let's not, you know. Let's not trounce on the movie that made Morgan Freeman the president of the United States. Anyways, anything else for Close Encounters?
Not that I can think of. I mean, it's just a really good movie, and it has amazing special effects that we didn't really talk about. But yeah, the models.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Actually, I do have something to talk about. Okay. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you on this.
Go ahead.
There are a couple editions of of Close Encounters that, and this is the scary part when you're buying a DVD of this right here.
Because
there's one edition, which is the one that shows the ship, the inside of the ship, which is blasphemy for the film. And the correct version, but this is a running sort of thing with Spielberg. Sort of.
Yeah.
Actually, because probably two movies, I suppose, that have this kind of issue.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into in a second. Or half an hour or whatever it takes. The other one, the best one, has no inside the ship. Like, there's no, like, look inside the ship at all. There's just, like, leaving it to your imagination, which is the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, there's that version. And I actually got really lucky because, like, I bought one version of it. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't figure out if this was the version that didn't have it, this was the version that didn't have it. And, like, you know how, like, you buy a movie and you open it up, now you can't return it, right?
Yeah. Oh no.
I popped it in there, and I went all the way down to the final scene. I started just like fast forwarding. I was like, please, 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 and it wasn't, and that scene was not there, and I cannot tell you how happy I was.
Yes, that's great.
Believe me, this part, the birth of my first child will not compare to the happiness that I felt when I realized that this is the correct DVD.
Oh god, yeah, I'm that in general is something I hate. There's like when there's like multiple versions of a movie, or that, and when
Star Wars.
Oh my god. That is a whole can of worms. Do not get
blinking Ewoks, Tyler. Go ahead.
That's actually one of them I don't mind. But
okay.
Oh, I've got some that I could really oof. But anyway, like I especially hate it when you like go to a video store and the only option they have is like the cut that you don't want to watch. Because I noticed they had Apocalypse Now, and it was like the extended cut version of it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, Oh, I want to watch the original cut first. And luckily Netflix had it, so I watched it on there instead.
You know, I don't mind the extended cut, but I understand, like, you want to watch the original. Yeah. No, I totally get that. That makes total sense. Like, the extended on that one is not bad.
Oh, like, it was just so much longer, and I didn't want to, like, if I on an off chance that I didn't like it, I wanted to watch the theatrical version first, and then, by the way,
like a safety net.
Yeah. And by the way, now I totally want to watch the extended cut.
Yeah, I think I own that one as well. I think I own, like, the two disc ones, like, has extended and the regular.
Oh, nice.
Okay, anyways, but we'll get to that later on as well.
Another podcast.
God, we keep, like, you know, hinting at Star Wars one. Do we really did tease this at all? I mean, who's gonna watch this? All right. Anyways, okay. So, oh, another factor I just realized I didn't talk this one.
Go ahead.
So, to get the little kid, whose name I forget, whatever the kid's name was, who cares?
Who the fuck
cares? Played Barry. In order to get him to, like, look surprised or, like, happy or whatever, mm-hmm. one of the things was that they had, like, a little, I think it was like a stuffed animal on the side that, like, teddy bear, that's what it was, yeah, right, to, like, he would wave goodbye bye to it. It was, like, so adorable, by the way.
Yeah.
It was, like, super adorable. And then, like, make the kid, like, feel, like, surprised or whatever. They had, like, a person in a gorilla suit that, like, would, like, be on the side of the camera, and the kid would, like, you're, like, all surprised there's a person in a gorilla suit, and, like, he would take the hat off or whatever, and he's like, oh, God. Whatever. It's, like, that right there, by the way, shows us, like, how much production value there was in this freaking movie.
Yeah, that
and it's just, you know what I would do, Tyler?
What would you do?
I would give up my first three born children to be a gorilla suit at a Spielberg movie.
Oh my God, you're
like on the side.
You're just throwing out those kids, Chris.
I don't need them. They're just dead weight anyways, right? Oh my God, I can't wait to be single the rest of my life. Oh, so you want kids, Chris?
There's gonna be a great girl who's interested in you, and then she's gonna listen to the Spielberg podcast. Like, oh, this is Chris's favorite director. I'm gonna listen to the podcast where he talks about it, and then you're gonna start talking about her. You're gonna throw away your first three kids, and she's gonna have second thoughts, Chris. She's gonna have second thoughts.
I'm pretty certain that there's gonna be Elfie's being second thoughts, which is the first thoughts, and be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, never mind, fuck it.
Never mind, fuck this. This is not worth it. Alright, I'm trying to think of, like, anything else. I think that's probably about it right there for me.
Yeah.
Other than just the fact that, like, for me, this movie, at least, my favorite scene out of the whole thing is actually the beginning of it, where, like, it sets up the whole, like, there's the airplanes from
World War II.
And, like, then, like, there's, like, the boat in the desert and, like, the people singing the the music, and it's just, like, them, like, discovering, like, how to do, like, the hand signals and all that stuff like that. It's like, this, I love all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had more to say about this movie, but I'm kind of drawing a blank. I just really like it.
Well, I have a lot more to say, but I think that the audience would rather us not talk about it for, like, 3 hours long. I mean, I know that Spielberg's listening to this, so
yeah,
I don't want him
yeah.
to be
let's
bored
let's
this
bore
whole
Steven,
thing,
okay.
You know, right? This is what's called a carryover from the Quentin Tarantino podcast. We're talking about Tarantino listening to the podcast.
He's listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast because YOLO.
What? That needs to be a picture, by the way. The one.
I'll,
okay, good. Okay.
I'll put my picture, my Photoshop of the yellow hat.
That was a Photoshop? That wasn't real?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
I wish it was.
Okay. All
Steven
right.
Spielberg wearing a yellow hat.
Anyway, so what's next? Raiders. There you go.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. This is probably. It's funny, actually. This is actually not the film that I watched when I was a little kid. Like, I didn't watch this probably till I was mid-teen, mid-late teen.
The first one I ever
all the
watched,
way through, I guess.
The first one I ever watched was Last Crusade, and when I was like 11. So
yeah.
But, like, you know, I had an idea of what Indiana Jones was. So, and, like, it's not like you have to watch the first one first.
Oh, no.
But
To be fair, actually, I think Temple of Doom actually falls in the timeline as being first.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Because it's a prequel to it. Which I didn't realize, by the way, until like last year. I never looked at dates. I was like, oh,
well, you know what? I had such a hard time like differentiating which one was the first movie, because I knew it was Raiders, but people kept saying Temple of Doom was, because it takes place first, but it didn't come out first. So
yeah, and for me, like I mostly just watched Temple of Doom. It's like every single birthday party I'd have, it was like three films: Men in Black, Temple of Doom, and crap, forgot the other one, what the other one usually was.
The Goofy movie.
No, actually, surprised enough, no.
Space Jam.
So the writer for this movie, I'm gonna jump into the writer real fast.
Lawrence Kasdan.
Kasdan. Whose name probably does not sound that familiar to people, just because of the fact that it's kind of like he's kind of like writes a lot of Spielberg, writes with Spielberg a little bit, then writes with some Star Wars. Actually, if you loved Empire Strikes Back, you can thank this guy here.
Thank him, like, and not George Lucas.
Not except thank George Lucas. I mean,
little bit less.
Yeah, I guess so. But they brought
we'll get to him in another podcast.
Yeah, God, keep doing this. Why? But no, they brought him in to help pin Raiders of the Lost Ark after he did such a great job on Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. And man,
there's excellent results.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And by the way, he's directed a couple other movies like Silverado. Was it The Big Chill? I believe is a. Yeah, Big Chill was one of them. Like something like ask your parents about that one. Parents might watch that. Yeah, but actually, he's coming back now to. He penned The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
The Star Wars Force Awakens, one of the episode 7. So that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be good. Back to old form, I guess.
Right.
As far as like the story and.
Well, I mean George
quality.
George Lucas wrote the first one. And then, I mean, he came back to write the prequels, and that turned out really great.
Why do you keep doing that, Tyler? God damn. Okay, so Indiana Jones. Here we go. Back to Indiana Jones.
I had a couple more Star Wars jokes to make.
No, shut up. By the way, there's actually something I forgot to mention, is that there's actually two running themes throughout all these Spielberg movies.
Mm. Good.
Do you know? Okay, so yeah, John Williams, which is one of them. Who's the other one?
Oh man.
Just to save some time, his name is Michael Kahn. He's the editor.
Oh right.
All these films. Actually, he started off with Close Encounters, and he did such a great job with that right there. And actually, it was his first sci-fi movie they edited. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
He just did an amazing job on the editing.
Yeah.
They brought him back. I'm pretty much like, if you look at Spielberg's filmography, it's almost always been Michael Kahn editing this thing. Mm-hmm. And almost always music by John Williams.
Yeah.
I think that here's the thing. I think that's like, Spielberg has a movie. He's like, I got this movie idea. Hey, John, are you available? No. Okay, not doing it.
Never mind.
Never mind, I don't want to do it now. This is stupid.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't see this one until way later. I really thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm going to jump into a fun fact real fast, because I love this fact.
Right.
So, Harrison Ford, obviously, he plays Indiana Jones and does a spectacular job at it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Spielberg wanted Harrison Ford as Indy, but Lucas did not.
Because he didn't
want Ford to be always like in his movies.
Right,
because
I mean, he's an American Graffiti and Star Wars. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And so instead of like, you know, going with who actually really is the better actor, they decided to try with Tom Selleck.
Right.
Which I don't know if you've ever watched like the special features. You can watch some of the wonders of Selleck's acting on screen as Indiana Jones and realize, man, Lucas has no idea what he's talking about. Seriously, oh my god! Like,
These were some of the early red flags.
Yeah. I mean, here's the, to be fair though, Tom Selleck is a great TV actor.
Oh, like Tom Selleck back then was hot shit. So like it totally makes sense for him to be
Magnum PI right there. Yeah. That was, you know,
back in the day that would have totally made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But
would not have held up. Would not have held up.
Yeah. The problem is that he's not strong enough, I don't think, as an actor to carry a big movie like this right here. Right. You know.
And yeah, I mean, like Indiana Jones, like it's not like he's a very complex character. He's sort of like the picture like every man wants to be, you know, like he gets all the ladies, he's, you know, goes on adventures, he's
very much like the old like serials back from the like 50s, and
he's the grade A action hero from way back.
Yeah, he's not like a deep character,
right?
But he definitely has wonderful personality, which Harrison Ford portrays very well.
Yeah.
Fun little thing, by the way, is that did you happen to recognize the guy that plays Doc Ock from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man?
Yeah.
He is at the in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like, oh hey, it's that guy.
He should have gotten claws. He might have been able to save himself if he had octopus.
Oh.
Yeah, I did notice that, and I was like, oh wow, it's him.
It's like, man, he definitely started off like in an interesting place. Yes. Like, all right, good for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Another really awesome actor is in this movie is John Rhys Davies. He plays Sala, really large man.
Oh right.
With like the what's the red hat called? It's the Tyler, please help me with this.
Red, what is this? Red hat.
Yeah, the red hat that like he wears. Gosh, no, it's because like freaking the Doctor from Doctor Who wore that hat sometimes.
Fuck. I know what you're talking about. God damn it, Chris.
I know.
Fez.
Fez, thank you, yes.
Yeah, Fez. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
The struggle was real.
Yeah, pretty much. But we gotta make sure, by the way, to definitely talk about the wonderful... what's her name? Shoot. Karen Allen, who played... Marion Ravenwood,
yeah.
Who had probably one of the best character introductions.
Oh man,
in the
she
thing.
Like, and then like the
starting off, just the drinking contest.
That,
like,
and then like when they reincorporate it, and you think, oh yeah, like she's gonna get him drunk and outwit him, and then it turns out he can't because he drinks the stuff all the time.
Yeah,
it's like great. A really well written character.
Oh yeah, which, absolutely. She did a great job.
Not often happens with women characters, especially.
Especially in Hollywood. Yeah. I mean, they ran like, oh, it's damsel in distress.
Yeah, she's definitely.
I mean,
there's elements of that, like.
There's some elements of it, but it's not like in your face about
it. She doesn't
it.
Have
it's
to
like,
const- like it's not like she has to constantly be saved and she's like screaming all the time or something.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing that they definitely had. I'm gonna talk about a little bit of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull for a second, that they brought her back, which is probably one of the best decisions that they could have made. Because
they told her to quit her job at the toll booth and come be in the movie.
Wow. Okay. Jeez, man. I just want to go ahead and say, by the way, that Tyler's opinions and these matters do not reflect the core beliefs or ideals of Illumination Cinema.
Just because the co-founder says it doesn't mean.
Yeah, you get one of those notices in the beginning of this thing, just to like listen, listen. Okay.
At least we don't have to bleep the word toll booth.
Anyways. So,
but yeah, that was I definitely love that they brought her back for it. That was the right decision to make.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tyler, I have a question for you though.
All right.
What is your favorite scene in the whole movie?
Oh man, it might be the plane scene. It's a great action sequence.
Okay. The part where I talk about how this does not reflect other opinions of the elimination
Either
of blah blah
that
blah.
or the bit
So
with
far,
the snakes.
you're absolutely still wrong.
Okay. I don't give a fuck.
This movie has one of the greatest death scenes in the entire thing, where it involves a bunch of Nazis getting their
Oh.
faces melted.
Mr. Cliche over here.
They have a listen, man. Everybody loves the little facts figurines melting in front of them. Was that what that was, right? It was like the
Yeah,
wax.
one of them was. I think they did three different effects.
Okay.
Because there's the one guy with like his face melts off and you just see his skull. There's one guy's head explodes and it looks ridiculous. All of them do. And
And then like the flame, like they all engulf in flames and whatnot. So it's like, oh, this is
it's
terrific.
awesome.
I love it. I love it. Because everybody loves Nazis getting killed. Now, however, Tyler, this leaves a little quandary here. What's my quandary here? Do you think that Indiana Jones at all affected his entire story? Because here's the thing, Indiana Jones redirected the was it Indiana Jones? Who was it? Somebody redirected the excavation site away from the actual ark, so Indy could go down and get the ark himself and bring it up and escape with it. Now the Nazis were gonna find it anyway, right? If he hadn't
I
infiltrated, so they
guess,
would have found
yeah,
it.
so it
And
doesn't
so,
really
if I
matter.
may can explain, the Nazis took it off. Indiana Jones follows around, does all these fun adventures and stuff like that, and they end up at the end where the Nazis open up the ark, and they all die. Now, what part in that caused, what did Indiana Jones cause for the Nazis to die? Nothing
Yeah,
in there
pretty
at
much
all.
nothing.
Basically, the whole movie is
But hey,
just.
it got to a museum because of Indy.
No, it did not get to the museum. It went to a storage facility
Oh, that's right. That's right. God damn it.
where
Never
Indiana
mind.
Jones gets one of the greatest responses in cinema history. That's right behind one of the other responses from like Rocky IV,
Top man.
where. No, hold on. Tatter. Where is the Ark now? It'll be studied by top men. Who? Top men. Oh, okay. Which is, right, I said, right ahead of one of the greatest lines from a Rocky movie. Actually, came from Rocky IV, unfortunately. Which is like he has like that Soviet people following him around, and it's like, who are those guys? And they're like, they're assigned to you. It's just like, what?
I thought the best line from Rocky IV was,
"I will break you."
Oh, you're right. That's actually third place, but it's in my history, by the way.
Oh, actually, no, I was wrong. I was wrong. The best line from Rocky IV was when the robot comes out and says, "Happy birthday, Polly."
Was that a song playing, by the way? I don't remember. Yeah, that's a song playing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, my favorite part though about Rocky IV was probably the credits. Is that done movie?
You love
Yay!
the part where Apollo Creed comes out in a musical number.
Yes. God dang it, we're talking about Rocky Balboa now.
We're not going to talk about the Rocky movies at any other point, so.
Yes, let's just wedge it into the Spielberg podcast, why don't we? There we go. Yeah, that's terrific.
Yes.
So Raiders, man, what else is there talking about with Raiders other than like,
Snake scene. I love the snake scene.
oh yeah,
It's a great scene.
I mean the part where you can see like the glass separating Indiana Jones from the snakes.
I actually didn't notice it.
You will now.
Probably won't. I probably won't put that much attention to it.
It's like the fake baby from American Sniper. You
Yeah.
just you can't unsee it now.
Yeah.
But no, I mean this is a great movie, and like I said, it's unfortunate that I didn't watch it like all the way through. I should go and correct myself earlier, by the way. I said I watched it to late my late teens. I didn't watch it all the way through. I only watched like little bits and pieces from it. I only saw like, the ending of it. I'd never seen the beginning of it until like. God, I was a little older or whatever. I was like, oh, I'll go watch this movie. This movie's amazing.
I think I'd only ever
Oh.
seen it on like television up until this year. For Black Friday, they had it like for $3 on Blu-ray. So it's like, oh yeah, like I'm not gonna grab that.
Yeah, was it like used to? My favorite Indiana Jones movie was actually Last Crusade, and then I finally watched all this right here, and I was like, this is the best one. Never mind. Last Crusade's good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love that movie.
Oh yeah.
Once again, Nazis. You know, can't
love Nazis. That by Chris that loves that by Nazis. The.
Well, that's coming up in the
part two.
Yeah, realistically, we made a little blunder here.
What?
We should have put Raiders in the second podcast because it would be Nazis, Schindler's List Nazis, Saving Private Ryan Nazis. Just a Nazi podcast. All right, so I guess we'll move on to the next movie, which is E.T. the Extraterrestrial. And it took me all the way till I was probably 13 or 14 to realize what E.T. stood for.
Did you think it was extra testicle?
Wow. Okay. No, actually, it's weird. So the first time I ever really watched E.T. was like after I'd gone to Universal Studios, I want to say in Florida.
Mm.
Yeah. Like I kind of heard about the movie kind of in a way, so I was like, whatever. So I watched it, and the advertisement for it at Universal Studios was talking about the like some special editions coming out.
Uh huh.
And so I thought that was like I thought E.T. was like E.T. the extra like you know features or whatever oh, you know no. something weird. Like, I didn't know what the T stood for. So that's kind of weird. Whatever. Blah blah. And it took me way too long to realize. Oh, extraterrestrial. Mm. I was born a smart child.
You want to know my introduction to this movie?
Go ahead.
When they re-released it in theaters, I had heard of it before, but I was like probably 8 years old. That was like around 2002. So yeah.
It was actually because I was 11 at the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe that wasn't the first. Yeah, it probably was the first I went to Universal Studios. Yeah.
So yeah, they the movie was re-released and. I knew what E.T. stood for.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Here's the question for you, then. Did you have the walkie-talkies or the guns?
They had the walkie-talkies in the theater.
Oh, no.
But luckily, I got to see it in the cinema, and it was, like, you know, I wasn't thinking about the dumb adjustments to the movie. But then I got, like, because they re-released it, they did a DVD release of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes the 2002 special edition and the original. So,
did you take the 2002 and toss it in the trash can?
No, because I actually like the way the box is set up because the disc is the moon, and on the cover, like it has like this sort of like hole in the cover, so you can see the moon disc thing. It looks pretty cool.
You're a dork.
Fuck you, Chris. So what do you think of E.T., Chris?
I think E.T. is the only good Drew Barrymore picture.
Even then.
She was great as a 5-year-old, dude. Yeah. And then she was just... Then she decided to grow up and, like... Drew's crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she, like, just was like, this is... Basically, how a lot of child actors go, they kind of go like on the crazy side, and then at least for her though, she seemed to like kind of bring herself back around. People actually kind of like her, so like, oh, whatever,
yeah,
cool, I guess. But
she decided to go and be in a bunch of Adam Sandler movies.
That's when you know you're in the toilet, I guess. It's like, boy, you suck. Want to be in my movie? that's Adam Sandler's way. God. All right, so E.T.
Adam Sandler was great in E.T.
Oh, I lied earlier, by the way. I was actually wrong.
Oh, yeah?
I said Michael Caine directed all these movies. I was actually wrong. It was actually Carol Littleton that directed... edited, my bad. So I keep saying directed for some reason. Edited E.T.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Michael Caine, not edit E.T.
Right.
Weird. I could have sworn. I guess
he was... I think he was going to, and then it was like some sort of... prior engagement had him not able to do it.
Yeah, I'm checking out the other ones, by the way, so I'm not lying about the other ones. Yeah, it's also a con, thank God. Okay. All right, I'm gonna change the Wikipedia article into St. Michael Caine on there just to help me out here.
Yeah. But yeah, I really like this movie.
Yeah, it's a wonderful kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, even though I was 11 years old and I watched this first time, I guess when I was 11, I guess I also watched the walkie-talkie version.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Weird. Okay, yeah. Anyways, I was actually a little frightened in one of the scenes, because like when E.T. gets dying or whatever.
Oh, yeah, and he turns all white.
It was really upsetting to me. And like the way my parents described to me was like, oh, he has mumps or whatever. And I was like, what the heck's mumps? I don't know what that is. And I was like, it got like...
And you can get it, Chris.
No, that's totally it, actually. I was like, I don't want to watch E.T. anymore. It's too scary. So I was probably like 15 when I finally like sat down, like actually was able to enjoy the movie without being like all upset about E.T. dying. It's like, for me, E.T. ended, like, somehow in my mind, like, even though I had watched it all the way through when I was a kid, in my mind, for some reason, E.T. had actually died. And so when I watched it, and I was like, you know, 15 or whatever, I was like, oh, it's gonna be really upsetting at the very end, it's gonna suck, blah, blah, blah. And also it's like, oh, the bicycle scene, yeah. That happens afterwards, I know. It's like, somehow in my mind, like, I put that earlier in the film, and it's like, I don't know, it's really weird.
Yeah, there's like, that was one thing when I was rewatching it recently. I hadn't seen it in like years, and I thought the movie, like, man, this movie's gonna be over soon, right? But like the bicycle thing hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Like and it goes tonight really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, they live in a certain part of the world that just kind of happens. Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
The sky just kind of flips over and turns into night.
Yeah. Somebody played the Sun song from Legend of Zelda, and that's just all of a sudden flipped.
Yeah.
Darn you, Link. So, okay, I'll ask you this one. What's your favorite movie?
What's your favorite E.T. movie? Shit.
Please edit that out.
God, probably E.T., I think.
Okay.
Mac and me.
Shut up. All right, so Tyler, what is your favorite part from E.T.?
I actually think it might be... we're going to have different scenes. You're going to go with the cliche one, probably. Like, when he initially gets E.T. in the house... And, like, he's just showing him around, and it's, like, this is, like, totally how a kid, like, with an alien like this, this is, like, totally harmless. This is totally how a kid would react to having an alien inside their house.
I actually agree with you, but I'm going to get a little more specific here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, the part what I loved was when E.T. is hiding, like, amongst all the stuffed animals.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mother walks in, and, like, just kind of just, you know, doesn't see him.
Yeah, those first couple days when he's in the house are so great. That and the scene where probably my second favorite one is like where he's like initially just kind of he thinks there's something out there, and then like he keeps like throwing the ball back, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah.
And then he calls his brother Penis Breath.
Do you know why he was saying that, by the way?
No, Chris. Why did he say that?
Because he didn't. Because the kid didn't want to say Spielberg's other favorite word, which is shit.
Oh.
He didn't want to call him shithead.
Mm.
Apparently, and so he was like, "What's call him?" And the kid was like, "If I call him Penis Breath, and it's like, perfect. Great, let's do that." Seriously though, if you watch any Spielberg movie, I think his favorite word really is shit. Yeah. He uses that word every single freaking time.
It's a big pile of shit.
Yeah. Like, it's like Tarantino in the certain word. I look like, by the way, that's gonna stay in, can you bleep that out? You're gonna bleep that part. That's exactly the word. Thank you, Tyler.
I'm cutting that out.
No, you're gonna bleep that part. Okay. So, other than the fact that Tyler just cursed right there, I'm gonna keep mentioning it so you can't edit this thing out.
I'm a skilled podcast editor, Chris.
Yeah. You know what's kind of sad, though, is that Harrison Ford is also in this movie.
Oh, yeah?
He was the principal.
Oh, that's right!
And it was cut in the movie.
That's right! I remember hearing about that in the biography.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I would love to have Harrison Ford repeat as my principal or whatever. It's like, oh, great.
He got demoted after Indiana Jones.
No, this takes place after Kingdom of Crystal Skull, where he's like the, whatever, what is he like, some like, did he call him the principal or whatever it was? Or some like head of the university?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the department or something. It was department
head,
I guess.
It wasn't the head of the university. It was just some department.
Yeah, it's head department. Yeah, yeah. I will say that was a good ending for that. That part, I guess. So, anyways, we'll get into that later on, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I have to now. I keep bitching it. We have to do it now.
I love Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, I love the. Never mind. I'm not going to get into this movie.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
I hate you the most.
So do you think that's enough for E.T.? Or do we have anything else to say?
We talked about, kind of skipped over the bicycle scene a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably one of the other favorite scenes of mine.
Most iconic scene. Why, like, Amblin, the studio that Spielberg founded, or one of the studios, Amblin has, like, the moon and the bicycle and all that stuff on there. Because this part for the movie.
Yeah.
It's actually a really, really cool logo. I like his logo.
Right.
Yeah. I think that logo and like the Bad Robot one is probably my two favorite ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's probably it right there for, I guess, part one of this podcast.
So come back and listen to us talk about more movies in part two.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com. To be Spookbusters, why didn't they just join the NYPD? Sorry, I just thought of that. I'm gonna put that after the outro. As a special little nugget for anyone who listens past it.
Slash podcast right there. That's the end of the podcast right there. That's it. Hey.
We can't top that. So our next movie is E.T., the Extraterrestrial.